Before we begin today's show, one of ESPN's most rapidly growing podcasts is The Right Time with Bomani Jones. So if you want to hear a unique perspective on everything going on in the sports world, I suggest you check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And if you didn't know, former teammates are going to war this Saturday at UFC 258 as the undefeated Kamaru Usman defends his welterweight title against Gilbert Burns, only on ESPN Plus. UFC 258 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for all the details. Hello, and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on Wednesday afternoon. Joined, of course, by Tim McMahon from Dallas, Texas. Tim, welcome.
Unless you introduce me properly by nickname, I am not participating.
Well, you know, on this podcast going forward, I don't even think I'm going to call you Tim anymore. I'll just call you Band McMahon.
Beautiful.
We're not going to use Tim, because also joining us from Boston is Tim Bontemps, who will just be Bontemps, or Timmy Good Times, or Timmy GT.
Or a bunch of things that they'll have to beep out if it's coming out of my mouth.
Right.
Always true. Always on brand.
So Bontemps had a story. He does this. Do you do this twice a year, Bontemps? Like early?
Yeah, usually a couple times a year. Sometimes three, depending. But this year, I think it'll be twice.
And you did this at the Post, Washington Post, too. Is that right?
I started at the Washington Post. This being the MVP straw poll to introduce it.
Yeah, so his first MVP straw poll came out. And let me just say that, so you asked 100 people, right?
Asked 100 people. Tried to mimic the actual voting as much as possible. So while not everybody ultimately ended up having a vote, got at least two people from all 28 markets, got some people from from around the world, from international markets, and used the same number of voters, 100 voters that we have at the end of the season to try to get a sense of where the race stands if the season ended today.
Right. Let me just say that this poll has been very predictive of the MVP. Maybe not necessarily the early season poll, but the late season poll certainly has been right on the money. Like last year, for example, it predicted a Giannis landslide, which it was a Giannis landslide. I think he got 85 of the 100 votes, something like that. It's also, I think, important to point out that this is not like 10 of your friends who cover the league. What do you think? Like, this is like a systematic, you went to all the markets so that the small markets were represented, the big markets were represented. You talked to the national media, likely MVP voters.
Well, can I point something out real quick? It would be impossible for Bontemps to do something with 10 of his friends, because that's like five times more than he has.
Yeah. Did you vote in this, McMahon? Were you blessed with a vote?
I did. Even though I didn't have a ballot last year. So, I don't think I'll have a ballot this year, but yes, I did vote in this.
All right. So, all right. That's the ground. That's the preamble. So you did this. I did vote, for this, and I will say that my 1, 2, 3, with the same 1, 2, 3 of the results. We'll see what McMahon ended up with. But why don't you break down what you saw here in your results? There's also the story and results are also on ESPN.com, and you can get some more detail on this voting. But just break it down for us.
Yeah. So the quick top five was in order: LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard. Those are the only five guys to get more than 100 total points, and those were the five guys who were most represented on the ballots. Those were the five guys who were on over more than half the ballots. And to me, the biggest takeaway from this really overall is that I think this is going to end up being an incredibly tight race between LeBron and Joel Embiid going forward this season. I started asking people who their choices were for this on Friday afternoon. That was about 12 hours after LeBron and the Lakers demolished the Nuggets in the second half in a game in LA. and Nikola Jokic played poorly and LeBron was spectacular. And I think that was enough of a boost to lift him past Embiid. But they were closer in the first and second place voting in this. They were 95 points apart. That's easily the closest of any ballot that I've done over the past 4 or 5 years that I've done this. And, you know, I think given where the league is at right now, kind of the overall structure of the league, I think that the timing of the vote certainly, I think, helped LeBron a little bit. And I also think that as the season goes forward, you know, if Embiid can continue to play the way he has been, I think the Sixers are going to be at the top of the East, and it's going to give him a real shot to get in the mix here. So I thought it was going to be close with LeBron Embiid and Nikola Jokic, and it turned out to be the case. The spread of those three guys was the same as it was between Giannis and LeBron last year in the first poll that I did.
Okay, so and, real quick. You mentioned this. LeBron had 53 first-place votes.
Yeah, I should have said that. LeBron had 53 first-place votes. Joel Embiid had 23, and Nikola Jokic had 18. And then there was a smattering from a few other guys. But Embiid had the most second-place votes and the most third-place votes by a pretty healthy margin.
This is shaping up to be, McMahon, a very hotly debated MVP race. I think people are going to have are going to be into their feelings on this one for a number of different reasons. We talked a little bit about the MVP last week, and I brought up that a true center hasn't won in 21 years. It was Shaq in 2000. Garnett.
Real quick, and, Brian, the race that this reminds me of is 2005 with Steve Nash and Shaq. And I have a feeling, not that the players aren't exactly analogous, but that was a super close vote. It was the last vote that was really close.
Controversial.
It would not shock me if this ends up being a similarly hotly contested vote in the end.
Controversial. I think it was Dan Le Batard, but other people followed through who thought that race played a role in the voting that year. McMahon, how did you vote?
My top five went exactly how Bontemps spit out the poll results, with the exception of Embiid and Jokic flips. I had Jokic 2, Embiid 3. Now, I submitted my votes Friday afternoon. It was not a great weekend for the Nuggets as a whole. You know, right now I would probably flip those guys, given that the Sixers are at the top of the standings and the Nuggets are just a game above 500. You know, although the Warriors are only a game above 500, I did see Steph Curry score 57 the night after.
Yeah.
Live and in person, I saw him score 57 the night after my votes. Steph,
there were a couple people who wanted to switch their Steph votes after that too.
Yeah, I might have put him at fifth, and then he followed it up, and, you know, with another big performance. I mean, he is full blown Steph Curry cooking right now.
Yeah, so like I don't want to get into what to do about Steph is a topic here. I don't want to talk. I don't want to get off LeBron Embiid here first. LeBron, is he in first place? He was first place on my ballot. Is he in first place because of his play this year? Or is he in first place because he was so damn good in the bubble and the Lakers were so impressive and give me my respect to, and Giannis was a two-time champ. We haven't even mentioned Giannis's name
right yet.
He wasn't in the top five. We'll talk about that. How much of this is LeBron James total resume effect.
The LeBron James Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say lifetime. The guy's won 4 MVPs, but how much of that is weighing? How much of that is factoring into this vote?
Well, I think it was a lot of it, in the sense that you laid this out well, I thought, on Sunday, Brian, in that in a race where there isn't a clear front runner, right? LeBron is kind of by default the front runner because he's seen as the best player in the world,
yeah,
and obviously came off.
You did not like what I said on that podcast, that I think that it was difficult to defend LeBron, that Giannis winning last year. You didn't like that.
Yeah, Giannis had had one of the greatest statistical seasons in NBA history and won in a landslide. He was clearly the MVP of the regular season. There was really no disputing that. Now, if you want to say, was Giannis the best player in the league last season, I think then you can go into a different discussion and talk about the playoffs, talk about the way LeBron led his team to the championship in the bubble and say, well, no, LeBron retook his place as the best player in basketball. But that's different than who was the MVP of the regular season. That was there was this was not like Karl Malone and Michael Jordan in 1997 when they were split by a handful of first place votes. I think it was 63-52. And Michael Jordan was clearly a better player than Karl Malone at the time. And you could say, well, why are you voting for Karl Malone over Michael Jordan, right? This was LeBron finishing a very deserving second, but behind a guy who was a very deserving first.
Yeah, last year, Giannis had the best regular season for the team that had the best regular season record. He would have gotten my vote. Now, having said that, if it's close, the tie goes to LeBron because he 100%. Is – Look, if you say which player is the best player in the league, not who had the best regular season, who's the best player in the league? I think if you take that straw poll, you're probably getting 100 LeBrons. If not, it's going to be really close to unanimous. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate. I mean, so if it's close, LeBron gets the benefit of the doubt because if the playoffs are starting, you say which guy would you most rather, would you most want on your team? It's LeBron, no questions asked. And so, again, if it's close, LeBron absolutely gets and deserves the benefit of the doubt for, really a decade and a half of proving again and again and again that he is the best player in the league. It is a regular season award, but all that stuff is part of the context that you can use to break a tie, for sure.
So here's kind of what's happened with LeBron. He won his MVPs his last 2 years, the first time in Cleveland, 260-win teams, number one overall seeds, sort of the, his sort of five-year prime. I mean, you could argue he's still in his prime now, but his prime, peak of his powers was sort of the end of his run in Cleveland, his years in Miami. His years in Miami, there are certain people who say LeBron is as good as he's ever been. He thinks the game is good as he's ever been. He is not at the peak of his powers, and he would admit this if he had to. I encourage you to go back and go find
If you saw LeBron highlights. If you saw LeBron in person those years in Miami, he's still incredible, but he is not like that guy was something to behold.
He's not the athlete that he used to be, but he's still, I don't know what, top five, top 10 physical and athletic specimen in the league.
Yes, for sure.
And,
but he was,
and there are things there are. You said he thinks the game as well as he ever has, and he's shooting the ball as well as he ever has.
Actually,
so there are
not.
Aspects.
He's not
actually.
He's shooting
40% from three.
I know, but I'm telling you.
Career.
Go look at the numbers from his Heat years.
I'm looking at them right now.
I think he had a season where he shot 57%.
Okay, I'm saying he's shooting the three. He's shooting the three more often and
today,
as he ever has.
Today he's shooting the three more often. Let's see where he's at the end of the season. But during the 26-game winning streak, I will put forth that during the 26-game winning streak the Miami Heat had in the 2012-13 season, I will argue that that was LeBron at the peak, the absolute peak of his powers. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he went through a span there where he shot like 70% over like a 6 or 7 game span. The guy was, and defensively, just a beast. Mm-hmm. Just any loose pass that came in his direction, it was a dunk or it was the start of a fast break. Just a beast. Having said that, the way he is playing now, the way he takes over games and just controls games, total Neo from the Matrix LeBron. I mean, he didn't have that kind of mastery to slow the game down the way he does now. But when it comes to I see people say that he hasn't lost a step. That's just not true.
last 5 years, his 2-point field goal percentage has gone from 61% to 60% to 58% to 56% to 55%.
Which, by the way, let me just point out, is still pretty damn good.
No, it's really good. Yeah. To be clear, LeBron is the better version of LeBron, it surely does not mean LeBron is bad. LeBron's incredible. It's just like that LeBron could do 95% of the cerebral stuff and also was the best athlete I've ever seen on a basketball court at the same time. Like, yeah. Just, it was unbelievable. It's like watching a human freight train play all the time.
By the way, LeBron, during that 27-game win streak, averaged 27.
I can never remember. 26 was the losing streak that Cleveland had, 27-game. I'm sorry.
I'm looking it up on Basketball Reference right now. Averaged 27 points, 8.1 rebounds, 8.0 assists, shooting about 58% from the floor, 37-plus from three-point range. I mean,
that's insane.
And those numbers don't sound as impressive because today, like, everybody and their brother averages 27 a game. That was back when, like, games were played, you know, 101 to 96, not when games were 127, 120.
Yeah. By the way, this year, averaging 26, 8, 8. Shooting 50% from the floor, 40% from three-point range. That's still pretty damn impressive.
But as long as you've got his numbers up there, what are his three-point percentages for the last 5 years?
I can read them to you. 36%, 36%, 34%, 35%, 39.8% this year.
Okay, so 39% this year?
39.8. He just dipped under 40 with his last couple games.
Where do we think he's going to end up? Yeah, he's going to end up at like 35, 36%. Pretty
that
good.
That would be my guess.
I'll take field.
But, you know, it's just – he's not – you know, okay. Anyway, I just wonder if LeBron is close, the guilt that the voters may have of not giving him the MVP for the last decade may tilt in his favor.
Also, the politicking that he did in the bubble. I mean, it was a master politicking thing. Let's be honest. LeBron is a – I mean, he is a phenomenal media politician. He knows how to lobby. He also knows how to distribute touches, so to speak. I mean, the guy, listen, if you think the West Coast vote angle is not going to be LeBron's, come on now.
Well, he got, anyway, I'll leave that alone.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. So I watched Embiid last night played a game against Sac. Embiid did not have a good game by his standards. But yet down the stretch, he carried the Sixers to victory against Sacramento. Sacramento had been red hot. They'd won 4 in a row and 7 of 8. It was a game that could have gone either way. They were trailing the whole game, and they came back. It's probably the fourth or fifth time that I've watched, well, maybe the fourth time that I've watched Embiid carry the Sixers to a win, dating all the way back to opening night against Toronto, where he had the ball in his hands the whole fourth quarter. Like, I'm not saying he brought it up, but they gave it to him.
They're running through him.
And, you know, I know you follow Philly close, Bontemps. You know, you think his case is going to improve as the season goes along, because, I mean, they've got the best record in the East.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, he was not at his best last night, and he had 25, 17, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks in 35 minutes, and went 13 for 14 from the line, which is a pretty damn good night. I think that Embiid, to me, has been the best player in the league so far this season. He has been dominant. He has showed up in great shape. He said repeatedly in the preseason and in the offseason he was very mad that he didn't make an All-NBA team last year, and he was determined to make sure that that didn't happen again. And he has showed up and backed that up in every sense.
And if he makes All-NBA or wins MVP,
he is eligible for the Supermax, which would get him a bunch of money, which doesn't hurt either as a motivational tool. But look, you've said this to me a whole bunch of times, Brian. He looks so happy playing this year. The Sixers have remade the roster. to perfectly accentuate his skills, right? They add Seth Curry, who has been dynamite for them when he's been healthy. They swap out Al Horford for Danny Green. Tobias Harris is playing really well. They have a ton of shooting now around him on the roster. He has a ton of that allows him to attack inside, get a lot of touches, get a lot of buckets. He's playing great. And I think to your point, as this season goes along, you know, everything has been such kind of has been such a muddled mess so far overall for the league between everything going on with COVID and, you know, games being rescheduled all over the place. And obviously, you know, people are now starting to focus in on the season now that the Super Bowl is over and it's kind of, you know, basketball kind of takes center stage. I think if Philly can stay at the top of the Eastern Conference, and especially if, you know, one of McMahon's teams, the Utah Jazz, continue to play the way they're playing and stay atop the West, I think it's going to be a really interesting race between these guys to see if Embiid can kind of push his way over the finish line and get this award. But I agree totally with what both you guys have said, in that if this is a close award or a close race down the end, the pull to give LeBron a fifth MVP after he's come close to winning and arguably could have won a whole bunch of times is going to be a really strong pull. And I think, you know, so for me, for Embiid to win, he's got to be a clear step ahead at the end. Because if it's a photo finish, you would have to think that it's going to kind of be like the way this vote played out, where it's really close, but LeBron gets just enough of an edge to push his way past.
The thing is that so many of those years, LeBron really didn't go hard in the regular season early on. And then he would sort of ramp up as the season would go along. And he, you know, his teams were finishing like fourth in the conference and making the finals. The last 2 years in LA, he's gone hard from the beginning. So he has shifted his regular season focus. And that is one of the things that has happened. One of the reasons he was sort of, you know, just hanging around the top three all those years is that he didn't go all out in the regular season. Well, he shifted, and that's, you know, all right. So there's case by case. There's a couple of cases I want to go over here that are complicated.
Just one more point, Brian, that we talked about that I wanted to just bring up. I also think that the Anthony Davis situation could loom large over how this plays out. Now we'll see. We'll see what the long-term situation is with his Achilles. He's got tendinosis in his Achilles tendon. He didn't play their last game against the Thunder, but he has not had quite the same numbers this year as he has
Anthony
in the past.
Anthony Davis got no votes. You know, you routinely hear people say, well, the Lakers have two top five players, etc. Anthony Davis is not on this ballot at all. He got no votes.
No votes. 15 guys got at least one vote. He got none.
He has played fine this year and had some moments where he's been good, but his numbers are slightly down and his shooting percentages are good. Some of the best of his career, but his numbers are down and his minutes are down, but very slightly. And he's been dealing with this Achilles thing. Tendinosis, which, you know, I am not a doctor, but tendinosis is slightly more serious than tendinitis.
I went to college for 8 years, and so I can, you know, I'm close to get to a doctor, and I can tell you that as well.
Thank you. Tendinosis means that your ligament, I believe, if I'm not wrong, your ligament has some damage in it. And let me tell you a ligament you don't want to have damage in, the Achilles. And Dave McMenamin, you know, broke this story shortly after we recorded the pod on Sunday. I wish we would have known first.
Good time, but Mac 10.
And he said this has been bothering him for a while. Now, look, again, he may rest this for 10 days and might come back and be fine. Anthony Davis has not been – and look, he had a short off season, all that stuff. He had his contract. He was late to start training camp. But I'm just saying, Anthony Davis has not quite been the Anthony Davis from last year. All that matters is he is in the playoffs, and maybe he will be, and we'll forget about this altogether. But it is worth pointing out that I don't think he's 100% right. And it shows not only in his stats, but in this vote that he is not at all, not on any ballots.
Well, and if you look over the past couple games when he did not look right against Detroit and did not play against the Thunder, two of the worst teams in the league, the Lakers had to go to overtime and LeBron had to play heavy minutes to win those games. Right. And that's kind of where I'm talking about where his role in this could come in, because like say Davis is kind of at the same level or isn't able to play for a bit. If the Lakers are able to win a bunch of games without Anthony Davis, or with Anthony Davis playing at a level below what people expect of him, that's going to be another line on the pro side of the LeBron argument, right? If Anthony Davis is not able to play at that level, or he misses some games and the Lakers lose several games and they drop down the standings a little bit, that's going to be on the negative side of the argument, right? So oddly, even though he wasn't listed on the MVP ballot at all, like, he could end up playing a pretty big role, I think, in how this comes down at the end. Because again, we're talking about what's probably going to be a pretty tight vote, and it, you know, little things like that could really shift it one way or the other.
And, right, let's, you know, talk about winning matters in this a lot, right? And so Jokic, they've lost 4 of 5. So Jokic has taken a little dip in these last 5 games. He's averaging 36-10-7 of those games. The one win in that stretch, he against the Jazz. It's the only loss the Jazz have had in forever. He goes for 47-12-5. I mean, he puts up 50 points and 12 assists against the Kings. They lose. I guess that dents his MVP candidacy. I don't know.
Well, that brings to the Curry situation. Curry's on a 500 team, and I'll be impressed if they stay there. They've already outachieved what I thought they would, so maybe they will. You know, this has been the thing. Most years, the MVP comes off a team with a top 3 or 4 record. Steph Curry is playing very high-level basketball. He is the definition of a most valuable player. Bradley Beal isn't on this list either. But I mean, what Bradley Beal does for the Wizards is not that much different than what Curry does for the Warriors, except for the Warriors actually win some games.
That's a big but.
Okay, but they're 500. So Steph Curry is, what, 7th? And he's not 7th because of their record.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is playing like he is 100% full Steph Curry. Like, this isn't, a diminished version of Steph. He is as good right now as he ever was. And, I watched him in person twice last week. He was unbelievable in both games. I mean, he's
a couple of the shots that he hit in that Dallas game. Like, I can't remember the exact scenario, so I may be describing it wrong, but I think there was a switch, and it might have been Kleba on him, or it might have been Dwight Powell. And the guy is draped all over him at the top of the key, and he, like, takes one of those explosive, like, escape dribbles to the right, where he, like, goes 5 feet in the air to his right, and he just shoots the ball, like, off balance, straight up in the air, just to get the shot off over the 7-footer. The ball is freaking 20 feet in the air if it's a foot. And the damn thing just goes splashing down through like it came out of a machine. I mean,
he gets off shots that you're like, how did he even get that shot off? And then you're surprised if it doesn't go in. And then you're all up on him and try to take away the 30-foot step back. And he's, into the lane, finishing with some beautiful scoop at the rim. I mean, the guy pulls up in transition, full speed, stop on a dime, pull up on the half-court logo. And honestly, like, when you're watching him, when he's playing like this, you laugh out loud about 6 or 8 times a game because you just can't believe what this dude is doing.
So what do you do?
Well, I mean, I think it's this kind of gets to the next group of guys on the ballot in general, right? Like, Kevin Durant has been, he's arguably had the best comeback from an Achilles injury in the history of the league, right? And
he's shooting 53% overall.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
And he's taken tough shots.
Right. And he has been great. Kawhi Leonard has been great. He's playing back-to-backs again. He's playing a lot of games. The Clippers are, I don't think they maybe are a game behind Utah and the Lakers, but they're right in the same mix. Steph has been incredible. I mean, like you're talking, Damian like the Lillard. Man was saying, like Damian Lillard's been incredible, right?
He's nowhere carrying in the mix. That team.
Yep. He's nowhere in the mix at all. But like,
Lillard did not vote.
Now, we haven't mentioned the Jazz, who I think there's a healthy debate over who is their MVP candidate. But
yeah, I mean, summing up the Jazz, to your point, McMahon, I've never had any team get more than two players. Have more than a vote or have one or more votes in this poll, and they got three guys to get a vote. Now they were also from 11 to 15 in the balloting: Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and Mike Conley, which both speaks to the fact that they don't necessarily have a guy that's seen as a top 5 or 10 guy by people in the league, but they have a pretty damn good ensemble cast, which is why they're tearing things up right now.
You know, they've lost. So they're 17 of 18. Is that right?
16 of 17.
16 of 17. Okay.
They lost the Knicks. They lost to the Knicks and the Nets back to back in New York. And since then have been annihilating.
They're terrible doing it. And
the loss that they had out of that 17 game stretch was the game in Denver where the Nuggets went 15 of 17 on threes in the first half.
Yeah.
And still only won by like 10.
So it took literally one of the greatest shooting performances in NBA history in a noon game on a Saturday or a Sunday. I can't remember which it was. That's their loss in the last month or whatever.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's remarkable.
Right. But so Steph is like, I'm not going to fight. Like if somebody says to me, I'm going to vote for Steph Curry for MVP, I'm not going to sit there and like square off with them.
Right.
No, he's been great. I mean, you could argue there's somewhere between six or seven legitimate candidates. Like Giannis's numbers are a little bit lower than last year.
One second.
I'm just saying like you could argue between Giannis, Kawhi, Durant, Curry, and the three guys we've talked about. Like I think all of them, if you'd say to me, I'm voting for that guy I'm giving that guy a first place MVP vote. You can make a completely defensible, rational argument that I'm not gonna say that's crazy, for sure. They all have a real case.
And so, don't you think that all favors LeBron? Because if you're looking at breaking a tie, you default to the resume.
Yeah, that's why I think LeBron is currently on top, because there isn't a clear leader. And to like you said on Sunday, like LeBron is kind of the default front runner if there isn't one. And right now there isn't one. And I think interesting is if as the season goes on, it becomes a two horse race with somebody else, say it's Embiid or somebody else. And then it comes down to the merits of the argument. That's where I think things get interesting. If it stays anything close to now, I think you're right. I think LeBron is a really good shot.
And by the way, the other name that we haven't mentioned is the guy who finishes top three every single season, pretty much. And that's Harden. Of course, he kind of forfeited his right to be a candidate this year with the way he left Houston and then and joining a team that had two established superstars.
All right. So I got a trivia question, which is brought to you by CarMax. Don't just buy a car. Love your car with the new CarMax Love Your Car Guarantee. Here is the trivia question. There are four guys who have averaged 25 points over the course of their first three seasons. Okay, Luka is trying to become the fifth. He's averaging 25.2 over his first three seasons. He's averaging about 28 this year. You guys want to take a guess at the other four guys who averaged in total 25 points a game over their first 3 years?
Wilt, Jordan.
Wilt is no.
What?
Over the last 40 seasons.
Oh, well,
okay. that's a bit of an important quality.
There's a lot of math involved here.
Was McMahon right about Jordan?
Yeah. Jordan is number one in the last 40 years, 31.7.
I would imagine LeBron is also on that list.
I don't think
LeBron averaged 26.5.
Okay. I was surprised because I know he was lower than that his rookie year. Is KD on there?
KD averaged 25.3.
Okay, so we're missing one. Last 40. Not Bird, is it?
No.
Bird wouldn't quite fit that.
This guy won one MVP award and multiple championships.
Oh, no. Not Kobe.
Shaq.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, hoodie teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
All right, so that's Luka. Now, at the start of the season, Luka was number one on the sports books to win MVP. On this straw poll, he only was on two ballots. Got two third-place votes. He's ninth. Obviously, Dallas has been a bit of a disappointment, McMahon.
You can't vote for a guy when his team's near the bottom of the conference standings.
I agree.
It's that simple. And look, they're 11-14. I mean, if they get on a little roll here, I think they're four games out of fourth right now. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he gets back in. Yeah, they're four games out of fourth. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he gets back in the conversation, but you know, he is pretty far back in the race. I mean, it would take some pretty historic stuff for him to make up that much ground.
Well, and why did we think Luka was such a strong candidate in the offseason, right? Dallas was a team that we thought would take a step forward, A, yep. And B, in a weird season where there was going to be a compacted schedule and a lot of games bunched up, people thought that a lot of these veteran players, guys like LeBron in particular, would be not playing every game. It would not be playing quite at the same level as usual because they'd be trying to manage getting through the season a little bit. And that would have a young guy with really young legs who'd blown up in his second season an opportunity to come in and win the award this year, right? And what's happened, frankly, a bit of a surprise to me, we've seen LeBron play every game. We've seen Kevin Durant coming off an Achilles playing huge minutes. Steph has stayed healthy. Kawhi Leonard is playing back-to-backs, right? Like all these guys who I would have thought would have been taking their foot off the gas a little bit have arguably like put it down harder even. So well, you combine Dallas's performance with that, and that's how you have Luka in the spot he's in the ballot.
And Luka didn't come in great shape. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, and their rotation was wrecked by COVID. They went into a rut. You know, having said all that, he's averaging basically 28-9-9.
Right. He's still pretty good.
It's hard to say that's a down year for a 21-year-old. And, you know, I sat and watched a game on Saturday night where Steph Curry had 57 points and Luka was the best player on the floor. So
that was a great game.
Oh my God. It's definitely on the short list of just the most entertaining basketball games that I've ever been able to watch live for sure.
I mean, Curry, just his shot making.
But you know what? Luka's shot making in that game.
Yeah, Luka hit the one step. You know, he hasn't been shooting well on the threes, but he pretty much clinched the game with a three.
He's starting to find his three-pointer. In that game, he was 7 of 12. He batted less than 100 in December, which is just a few games, and then was sub-300. In January, and you know he's shooting it pretty well. Not that he's ever gonna, you know, you don't expect him to be. He's never gonna be Steph Curry. He's never gonna be a 45% high volume 3-point shooter. But when he's shooting 35-37% from three, you really can't guard a guy.
By the way, I mentioned earlier that Lillard wasn't on the ballot. I was wrong. He was 13th. He was on three ballots in fifth place. So I want to correct myself. So the two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, whose team is not killing it, but has been near the top of the standings in the East all season. He gets no first place votes in the straw poll, no second place votes, only five third place votes. He's sixth. And I've said this before, but Tim or Bontemps, is there any scenario this year in which after, you know, again, I think this is a carryover, sort of the other side of the LeBron debate. Is there any scenario in which Giannis could win the MVP this year?
Well, you say his team isn't killing it. They are 16-8, which is second in the East. They have a net rating of 10.1, which is a historic net rating. And they have the league's best offense, right? So I would say they've been pretty damn good. And yeah, across the board.
That's a fair point. But I'm just saying, like, they're not like last year where they were like out in front.
I'm agreeing with you. And to your point, like, Giannis's numbers across the board are virtually identical to last year. His points are down a couple points a game. His rebounds are down a couple points a game. It's exactly the same number of assists, the exact same number of turnovers, the exact same number of steals. He's shooting almost the exact field goal percentage he shot last year. Like,
he's shooting a little bit less. The reason his points are down is because he's taking less shots, which you would think was a good thing.
Right.
Spreading it around.
Right. No, and their offense is the best offense in the league. Better than the Clippers, better than the Nets, better than the Nets even after James Harden, right? I mean, they've been destroying teams offensively. So his season has been great, but to your point, for him to win the MVP award after the way things went in the playoffs and the fact that he won it twice in a row. I mean, remember, there's three guys in the history of the league that have won three MVPs in a row, Wilt, Russell, and Larry Bird. And to get on that level, you would have to do something pretty insane this year, right? And for as good as he's been, the Bucks have just been really, really good. And they probably would have had to be, 22-2 right now instead of 16-8 for him to have a real shot. And that's, at the end of the day, this stuff is driven as much by narrative as it is by the results on the court, which is why, we've talked so much about LeBron, that, maybe getting a fifth MVP if it's a tie. And it's the same reason why Giannis isn't going to win a third straight MVP unless it's clearly not a tie or anything close to it, because, people are just going to vote for somebody different.
Well, and you mentioned the other names who have been three-time or three straight MVPs, or even if you want to get into the pretty short list of three-time MVPs, and these are absolute, all-time greats. And it's hard to justify. Again, it's a regular season. It's an award for one regular season, but it is hard to justify giving three straight to a guy who has yet to take his team to the finals, much less won a championship.
I agree, and that is why, it reminds me of the Steve Nash stuff. Nash was a controversial back-to-back MVP award winner. And so again, even though we're supposed to evaluate this season on this season only, there's baggage.
Yeah.
I mean, to Tim's point, there's eight guys that have won three or more MVPs. Kareem won six. Bill Russell and Michael Jordan won five. Wilt and LeBron have won four. Moses Malone, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson have all won three.
And by the way, I think that list also explains why LeBron started lobbying for this MVP before last season was even over. To get to five, to get even with Jordan, that's pretty meaningful.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, how many years do we really think LeBron could have won the MVP? Like, I know he's been close, but how many?
Pick a year from the last 15.
Well, the one that gets under his skin is 2011, his first year in Miami, when Derrick Rose won.
That's to me, that's the one that he has the best case for. And there's plenty of arguments why he shouldn't have won it that year. But to me, if you're going back over the past several seasons, that's the one that I would look at and say, if you're trying to find him a fifth one where he should have won it, right, that was the one he should have won.
I mean, with the exception of his first year in LA when he got hurt, he could have been MVP any year.
Sure.
Okay, so that year, so he had won the previous two MVPs. So again, he's under kind of the same scenario that Giannis is under. He wins. No, he had been to the finals before, so it's not apples to apples. The previous 2 years, he is on the number one overall seed, wins the MVP, and he is viewed as having taken a bleep in the series with Boston. Well, that's fair or not. Still one of the more controversial series ever played. And then leaves Cleveland and joins, the Miami team that is deemed by some people as weak. Okay.
I mean, ironically, it's sort of a similar situation to the one that Giannis is in now.
Well, he didn't leave the team.
No, but I'm saying he'd won prior MVPs and he'd had a rough playoffs the year before.
Right. And so people are kind of casting an eye like, can this guy be a champion? You know, gets knocked out in the second round the year before. So he goes to Miami, and granted, his stats are going to go down because he's playing with Wade and Bosch. So he averages 3 fewer points a game, 1.5 fewer assists, same rebounds, shoots a little higher percentage. And that team wins, I think they won like 56, 57 games. But they started out, 9-8. And Derrick Rose is on a 60-win team that goes 3-0 against the Heat in that season. And there's a whole bunch of games that year where Derrick Rose carries the Bulls down the stretch. Tibbs' first year as coach, that style is sort of lighting the league on fire. But that year, Rose plays 81 games, averages 25 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. The stats are kind of in LeBron's favor. But again, the Bulls and Rose beat him on the floor. Now, in the playoffs, the Heat beat him 4-1. But that one, LeBron thinks he had to pay a price for the decision. He views that as his tax for the decision. Then he wins the next two. Okay. Then his last year in Miami is the year Durant wins it.
Yep.
Durant was unbelievable that year.
Yep.
Durant had one of the greatest PER seasons in league history.
Right. He deserves that one. The next 2 years, Stephen Curry's team won 67 and 73 games. I think that's pretty hard to argue those.
And Steph is unanimous the second year. Okay. So then Westbrook wins it. That year, the Cavs were a good team that was sort of basking the championship glow. Kyrie had a great year.
Year you could argue, both Kawhi and James Harden were closer competitors for that award that year to Westbrook than LeBron was. That was one of the deepest races we've had, but Kawhi's team won a ton of games and he was awesome, and Harden was unbelievable. Yeah. Westbrook really won that award by becoming the first person to have a triple-double, triple-double since Oscar Robertson.
Westbrook also had the narrative of carrying that franchise when Durant left, and Westbrook that year in the clutch was absolutely dominant.
And that's the one time anybody in recent memory has, to Tim's point, like, he got that team in the playoffs when they weren't supposed to, and that's why that's the only time in recent memory anybody's won the award when they weren't one of the best teams.
LeBron got one first place vote that year. He finished fourth. So he can't say that year he should have had it, right?
No, for sure.
So again, I'm looking for the year where he should have had it.
No, people will make, look, people would point to last year, I think wrongly. Our good friend Dave McMenamin made that case the other day. I disagree with that, and it was not really that close of a vote. And like I said, I think if you look back, Derrick Rose winning MVP in 2011, I think you could make the case that LeBron should have won that award. I also think you could make the case, to your point on the pod on Sunday, Brian, that he could have or should have won that award when Kobe won it in 2008, but Kobe was.
But that would have
award.
Been LeBron's first, and
right? No, for sure. It's kind of a similar situation to this year, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes this a really interesting race. Like LeBron right now is in good position, but I thought with where Embiid is in the voting and where his team is and kind of the overall setup, I think it's going to be a really fascinating race because you have several guys with compelling narratives, and depending on how this shakes out, I do think it's a pretty wide open race, despite the fact that you see the headline, LeBron is leading the voting, and you think, oh, it's a shoe-in, LeBron's going to win his fifth MVP.
So LeBron, and so just to finish this up, in 2018, his last year in Cleveland, where there was a whole period of the year where, in my view, LeBron kind of shut it down to try to force the Cavs into making trades, which worked. He finished second to Harden. Harden got 86 out of 101 votes.
That was Harden's second straight year leading the league in scoring, and the Rockets had the best record in the league.
That was not a debate.
So again, you don't say that LeBron shouldn't have won. You don't say he was robbed there.
Nope.
So really, you know, like he probably he you could make the case and then the next year he gets hurt. And then the fall, so 2018-19 he's injured. 2019-20 is last year he finished his second. So in fairness, you could make the case that he should have five.
Right.
He hasn't been like,
and it would have been five in a row.
Yeah. But again, he has some baggage there. Even if he stays in Cleveland, he has the same baggage that Giannis has this year, which is he was great in the playoffs when they lost his first year in the MVP. It wasn't like Giannis in that way, but he was not at the top of his game in the playoffs. They lose in the second round.
No, he didn't even finish second in 2011.
I don't remember where he finished.
He finished third. Guess who
finished third behind Dwight? Dwight, I think, was more deserving than Derrick Rose was that year anyway, but that's a whole other debate.
Yeah. So LeBron, so that year, just so they had more MVP votes back then. I think they had like 115 or 120 maybe.
121.
Derrick Rose got 113 votes out of the 122, he got 113. He won in a landslide.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Dwight was second. Dwight and LeBron were close. LeBron had actually more first place votes. He had four. Dwight had three, but LeBron finished third.
Well, and again, that was a narrative award that LeBron was never going to win for 100 different reasons.
Right. So I'm just, you know, like, give me my respect too. Like, he's not.
I mean, there's a certain amount of respect that comes with being top five in MVP voting in 14 of the last 15 seasons. One exception being the year that he got hurt.
It's pretty good.
And also we have, you know, people like Rachel, you know, like our colleague and friend Rachel Nichols, who've been arguing for a decade they need to create a new award so LeBron can win.
I know, but they don't have that award right now. And
But I'm saying to LeBron's point, I'm saying to Tim's point about the respect that comes with it, like, there's literally people saying, you know, Rachel, it's a good argument she makes, like, hey, there should be an award for who's the best player. And if that award existed, he probably would have won it the last 10 years in a row.
I also will point out in 2016 and 2020, he won finals MVP and he came reasonably close to winning. He was within shouting distance of finals MVP in two of the, you know, he got multiple votes on the losing team in two of those 3 years that they lost to the Warriors. So it's not like his trophy case is bare. All right. Well, Tim Bontemps, I was glad you did this story. Some years I think it's something that the media kind of creates the discussion about MVP just to sort of do it because it's something that fires people up. This year, I think it's going to be something that's going to be talked about and analyzed, and people are going to be fired up about it in various ways as this goes along. And this straw poll is it's more reliable than the political poll because like I said, you know, there's, you know, you went out and talked to people who are actually going to vote, and it's not just a very small sampling. The margin of error here is very small. But thank you, Mr. Band McMahon. Thank you, Mr. Bontemps. Thank you to Troy Farkas, who is producing. I hope everybody has a great rest of their week, and we will talk to you next week.
Man, I had all kinds of ammo for getting to another jazz conversation.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.